first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Yes, it's Karen Cataline live. Yes, I'm back in the saddle. Nice to be with you on this 3-1-2-3, something like that. Welcome to 2023, and I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and New Year's, and boy, the news cycle certainly didn't stop during the holidays. And right now, we are live. So if you're listening at 1 p.m. Eastern to Spouting Off, you are more than welcome to call us at 603-816-1590 about anything or about what I'm about to talk about. Gotta be talking a little bit about what happened last night on Monday Night Football. I have a few thoughts about that. We most certainly are, there's a massive amount of concern and love and prayers for Damar Hamlin, and I share in those. I have a few more comments, thoughts, if you will. Probably the best meme that I saw during the holidays, during the new year anyway, sorry, having a little froggy in my throat. Maybe it's because I haven't been here for so long, right? Is a cartoon, and I've been fairly active on the Twitter pages for now. I think it's amazing that I feel, and some people feel, a little freer to express their opinion. Actually, I think it's always important to express your opinion, because use it or lose it, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to have the courage to speak up and spout off and know that opposing opinions are not dangerous. Words are not dangerous, but violence is. And some people in our country have intentionally confused the two. They explain away violence, but they call words dangerous. They call free communication, free speech, and dissent dangerous. They do that regularly these days. Anyway, I get back to the cartoon. Love this cartoon. And when I sent it out, it is from the Week in Pictures. Powerline Blog does the Week in Pictures, and they compile some of the greatest cartoons of the week. And this one was no different. There's a little black and white cartoon, and you can find it on my website, on Twitter. I didn't put it on my website. Probably would get in trouble for putting it on my website because of copyright. So on Twitter, you can always do that, at least as far as I know. There's a whole bunch of people cowering around the corner, and they got a long broom delicately, frighteningly opening the door to 2023. Now, they're not alone, because almost everybody I've talked to has said that we're in for a tough year, 2023, because of the nature of what's going on in Washington, because the masks are off, and we see a maliciousness, a hostility towards the people going on in many segments of our very own government. When you see that, you know that the ramifications and the goals, the ramifications of that are extremely dark. As soon as you know that somebody's intent for you, when they've revealed that they have hostility for you and your life, that they do things to try to harm you, and this is, it's so painful to even suggest such a thing, but we keep seeing it over and over again, then you know that it's a free-for-all unless people are stopped. If what they told you to do to help you and to save your life and claimed that they want to save your life, and you found out that by doing the opposite of what they said, you had a better chance of surviving illness, virus, holding on to your liberty, whatever they told you to do, if they told you accept the results of the election, do not allow yourself to question whether the elections were fair, honest, and done with integrity. You are not allowed to question because that's dangerous. You know who does that? Cultists do that. Scientologists do that. Anybody who's trying to brainwash you into believing or thinking the way they want is going to tell you that thinking differently is dangerous. That is what cults do. Some cults tell you you can't even look online to the plethora of ridiculous information in order to elevate your own sense of discernment, in order to say, you know what, I'm not buying that. You know what, I don't believe that. Once upon a time, the left was great at that. They were the ones that led the charge on questioning authority. Now they obey authority with all they have. So that is one of the things that I thought was important. You can see that little cartoon. It's not signed, but it's very important. And it's right on my Twitter page at Karen Cataline. And then I got to thinking, so these days, in such extremes that we're living in, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? I've been doing a lot of kind of, you know, talking to friends. I did a little bit of traveling. And when I got to see some of my old friends, I asked them, I said, what gives you strength and courage in such frightening times? Some people said, I never get angry because it's just the way of the world. Other people said, I stay angry, which I thought was an interesting answer. The answers are as different as the human beings that you ask. Some people say, well, just don't give up hope because the glass is half full. There are still good people in the world, all of which is true. And then other people say, we're doomed. The glass is half empty. I wonder, maybe we should be asking what's in the glass instead of making a choice either way. Is it half full or half empty? What's in the glass and what's really going on? What is really going on here? Those are the questions I like to ask. And to that end, we have a wonderful guest, and we're going to have her for the rest of the hour because I was so enchanted with an interview that she did with Naomi Wolf, Dr. Naomi Wolf. And I'll be telling you about her when we come back. I still have more time. I just want to let you know I'm excited. I even bought her book. They didn't even give it to me as a member of the media. I went out and I bought her book. And her book is called Time to Awaken. It's all about conscious awareness and asking the question, what's in the glass? So stay tuned for that. We will have her for two segments at about 20 minutes each, roughly. And so there's lots to talk about. So I was watching, along with my husband, the NFL last night. I'm not a big football fan, but my husband is a sort of a football fan. We like to watch football on Sundays. And I was looking down when the terrible incident of Damar Hamlin collapsing on the field happened. But of course, I saw the repeats. So like most people, I was scouring the internet for information to see how he was doing, to see what happened, and discussing it with my husband. One of the things that truly I found upsetting, along with what happened to Damar Hamlin, was the demonization, the hatred. I could read you some of these tweets, which are just horrible, saying that if you dared to wonder whether the mRNA injection was somewhat, partially, or in any way responsible for this athlete collapsing on the field, when if you've been paying attention, you must acknowledge, and a lot of people refuse to pay attention, that athletes in particular, the healthiest among us, have been collapsing on the field. It's not as if this is the first time that's ever happened. There's a movie called Died Suddenly, and it has case after case after case after case of people dying of heart disease, and nobody's asking the question, nobody's pulling the vax off the market, nobody is acting as if there could be a connection, and to put insult to injury, there's dutiful zombies out there telling you that if you dare to question that or make that connection, you're a horrible, terrible person. And that is verbatim of one person who said, you're a horrible, terrible person if you dare to wonder whether this was due to the vax. And it isn't a vax. It's an mRNA injection. And everybody's wondering it, but we're being told, pay no attention to that elephant in the living room. You're not allowed to discuss it. You're not allowed to think it. You're a terrible, horrible person. So it is inferred that you're politicizing because you've been watching people for the last year and a half to 2 years die and collapse. Athletes, the most healthy, supposedly among us, in the middle of their lives, collapsing and dying on athletic fields all over this world. You're not allowed to question that. You're a horrible person. Now, what kind of motive is it that a person asks that question that you're not allowed to question, right? Something fundamental has changed in our country where dissent and discussion on a platform that is dedicated to dissent and discussion is now being characterized as evil and terrible, including denier. If you question elections, you're a denier. We've talked about this well before today. So I tweeted the following. I can find it here. I gotta go. But I just asked, how racist is America when the love and concern and prayers for Damar Hamlin are everywhere? So let's stick with that, because I share that. And so much more to say, but we're going to have our guest when we come back. Karen Catalina, you're listening to Spouting Off here on WSMN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Catalina.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to the Secret War, a Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free.
Thanks, Pat. Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, Get and read The Secret War.
Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Karen Cataline got her parents to name her Karen before she was born, so she could grow up to be a punchline. Now here's more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, on our very first show of 2022. Excuse me. See? Old habits die hard. 2023. Happy New Year. And to start our new year, our very first guest is somebody I booked a couple of weeks ago, my very own self, because I saw an interview of her with one of my faves these days, Dr. Naomi Wolf. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Aura Nadrich, and she is part of the mindfulness community. And wouldn't you know that I'm missing her bio right here, right now. That is unfortunate. I've been reading her book, and I don't have her bio in front of me. My apologies. Aura Nadrich joins us right now on Spouting Off. Welcome and Happy New Year. Are you there?
Sorry, Karen, I lost the call, and I'm trying to renegotiate now.
We lost the call. Well, you know what? That'll give me the opportunity to try and get her bio up here. Look at that. We're starting off with issues, technical and otherwise, but it's not going to take me long, I'll tell you. So the reason I've been so interested in this idea of mindfulness is because it's among the things that people use to meditate and to cogitate, if you will. No, not cogitate, to meditate as a part of a healing process to handle whatever's going on in your life. Now, one of the questions I've been asking over time has been how to handle this kind of unprecedented times that we're living in. So I've been, I guess, on a little bit of a quest to do that. And we have her back. Let me introduce her properly. Her name is Aura Nadrich. She's a pioneer in mindfulness. She's an expert, international keynote speaker and coach, and the founder and president of the Institute of Transformational Thinking, a sought-after expert in the fields of mindfulness, transformational thinking, self-discovery, and she's the author of Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever, and Live True, a Mindfulness Guide to Authenticity, named one of the 100 best mindfulness books of all time. And then she wrote this one, which is the one we're going to be discussing, among others, Time to Awaken. And this is something new and different because it addresses what we're all living through. Aura Nadrich, we're so glad to have you here on Spouting Off.
Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, gosh, it is really great. And I've never done this much research or reading for a guest possibly before. And I got your book, Time to Awaken, took it with me on the plane, as I told you. And I was enchanted that you have had the courage, along with Naomi Wolf, to address the, I guess what I'd call the New Age community, in writing this book to alert them to something that they seem to be rather resistant, along with so many others, to address. So why don't we start on a broad level and have you talk about this book, why you decided to write it, and what anyone can get from it. Then I have a lot of questions.
Well, I want to say that the book really asked me to write it. You know, I know that sounds kind of, you know, sort of nebulous, and but I really mean that. I was not planning on writing another book so quickly after my last book, Mindfulness and Mysticism, which I was still doing a lot of work around, a lot of PR and writing articles and being interviewed, and I was plenty busy with Mindfulness and Mysticism. But I did write Mindfulness and Mysticism before the world turned upside down. And so because things had changed so exponentially and, you know, our lives changed right before our eyes in the most unprecedented way, I felt that this book literally just came through me. I knew that I had a lot to say. I knew that I was really asking a lot of questions myself, and I was doing a lot of deep dive researching because I'm a critical thinker. And I'm very much somebody who wants to know answers. So I was doing that on my end, and I didn't realize that all the work that I was doing and all the research and all my inquiries were taking me to places that I felt were so important to share with others, do you know?
Yeah.
It's something very important at this time for everybody to really have more information.
Yes. Yes. And I guess I'll just cut to this part of the chase. In my 30s or whatever, I did a lot of New Age work, even though it shouldn't be mutually exclusive. I'm very much a conservative thinker, a libertarian type conservative. And I found in those days that the New Age community was permeated, if that's the right word, with leftist thinkers. I wasn't that political back then, but they have great things to say about enlightenment and healing, emotional healing, but then when they get to politics, they seem to take a strange turn. And the fact that you and Naomi Wolf were commiserating about things like Esalen, that they still require the jab at Esalen in order to take one of these courses, led me to ask you, why do you think this is, shall we call it your community, is somehow, I mean, it's a community of for the lack of a better term, I'll call them New Age type people who are into self-improvement. Why are they turning their back on everything that they said they believe in, like compassion and tolerance and, you know, tolerance for differences of opinion, even down to not littering. If you look at San Francisco, you know, they were the ones that told us to keep America beautiful, but now it's okay to poop on the street. What the heck has happened, do you think?
Yeah, such good questions, Karen. I mean, look, it's complicated. It's convoluted. It's unprecedented. We've never been here before. So it's not that I'm letting them off the hook. It's not that. Mm. It's that I've really tried to look at this from all angles myself, because I've asked those very questions. Like, how in the world could people, especially people within my own community, you know, I'm a mindfulness practitioner. Mindfulness by itself is being in the present moment with total awareness. Like, how could you not be aware of what's happening right in front of your eyes, right under your nose? I mean, that's bewildering right there. But I've seen it, and I've deconstructed it, and I've analyzed it, and I try to maintain my own perspective at looking at those, again, especially in my own community, that acted in ways that were so contradictory to the spiritual, if you will, values that they seem to believe in, do you know? And you're right. many of those people were extremely judgmental. I mean, I know, you know, some of these people that are in the same line of work that I am, they posted things on their social media that was anything but mindful. And it was just unbelievable, do you know? So that is a whole issue unto itself. Like, why did they default to that place? Why did they choose to not uphold their own spiritual practice, which is about compassion and kindness and acceptance and non-judgment? I mean, those are the tenets of mindfulness right there. And that those went right out the window when this whole thing happened, do you know? And I think that, let me just start with, I think that a lot of people were functioning in an unnatural state of fear. And it almost doesn't matter what type of work you do. We've got Harvard professors. We have yoga instructors. We have doctors. We have people in all fields, in all areas of professions that made decisions that defy, you know, what you would think they would do. You know, if you just were to think, well, what would that person do? They proved that they made decisions very different than we would have assumed that they would have made.
Yes. Yes, and mindfulness probably is partly, and I'm starting to study it myself, and we'll get to that about how that can be helpful. I don't like lumping people into large groups because that's the kind of collectivism that we are trying to fight.
Yeah.
So pardon me if I do that, because it's only to make a point, and I know you're the same way. I don't mean to lump all these people together. People and individualism is what we're trying to preserve, absolutely, and the individual experience of each unique human being. However, in general, I find, having been in both camps or experienced experiences in both places in different times of my life, I find that the wellness community, another name, is they're good at handling some emotions, accepting and letting them be there and letting you move on from them. And the conservatives are marvelous at thinking and analyzing. So if we could learn a little bit more from each other, I think balance is the important thing, because there were conservatives who were acting out of fear as well, and arguing amongst themselves. Well, how dare you not take the shot? You know,
absolutely.
How dare you? It wasn't unique to people who have always voted Democrat, for heaven's sake.
No, absolutely not. We can't do those types of gross generalizations as you're talking about. We can't say that only the liberals did this and only conservatives did this and only Republicans did that. And you know, that to me is very limiting anyway. And all that does is perpetuates polarization and keeps us stuck in our individual camps. And we're not going to get anywhere.
I'm of two minds about it, because I have always been a part of groups that are very heavily liberal, you know, and that, and so, you know, on the one hand, you are exactly right, but it also serves to say, and we don't want the polarization, but I went to Columbia School of Social Work, for heaven's sake, okay? And there were preciously few conservative thinkers there. Everything I've ever done has been populated by liberals and leftists.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Karen, because one of the things that, I mean, I can speak subjectively of where I took myself, and that's the place that I speak from, where I can shed light on what did I do? What are the decisions I made that I was able to really find a way to make sense of things and to move through things with the type of mindfulness skill sets that I teach and I write about. And one of the things that I really did over the last 2.5 years is that I decided to be not only very open-minded, but, you know, I'm on social media, and social media is one of the ways, you know, with all of the craziness about social media and the censorship and cancel culture that's going on it, but it's a great way for us to be able to reach one another, to hear our different perspectives, and to let our, you know, thoughts and wisdom and knowledge and information be known. But not if you're only listening to the same people that think like you do. I mean,
yes.
You know, it's like...
And demonizing everyone else.
Well, exactly. What's the point of only listening to people that agree with you? And only listening to people that vote like you, that have this, you know, that go to the same place of worship that you go to, that only eat like you do? I mean, I know that's rather tribal of us in our own sort of, you know, basic human survival need way, but we have got to transcend that. That's ridiculous. I mean,
we used to be
in a time where if we're not going to be open to sit there and whether it's extending an olive branch or it's breaking bread, if you're not going to be able to sit down and have some type of civil discourse or be open-minded to listen and or engage in conversation with others that don't have maybe the same opinions, beliefs, or viewpoints as you, you're going to live a very narrow life. And I think it's a very closed-minded way to go through life. So I learned a lot in the last 2 years by listening to people that vote differently than I have in the past. And even though I didn't agree with everything they may have said, it opened up my eyes. It had me listen to people that, you know, we're so quick to judge one another. We're so quick to put each other in these little stereotypical boxes, you know, that I find very limited. And I myself, you know, as somebody who has been a liberal and a Democrat my whole life, you know, suddenly I'm listening to people that are on the other side of the political spectrum that I would never have listened to before. And I would have been extremely judgmental. You know, we have got to stop perpetuating this, you know, partisan type of way in which we look at each other and we don't want to have anything to do with each other just because we vote differently. That's ridiculous.
I am so glad that you agreed to do one more segment for me because I've got the $62,000 question that I'm dying to ask you at the beginning of the next segment. But before we, I've only got about 30 seconds. I just want to say, if I don't get time, you epitomize the kind of person that I have always admired, always sought to highlight the courage of someone who stands in a camp of people and questions anyway, a minority of one. You're a minority of one. In many ways, because you've had the courage to question. Stay with us. We're talking to Ora Nadrich. So good to have her. We'll be back with her in a moment. Get her book, Time to Awaken.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
I was asking God through prayer, seeking a good news source. I believe he showed me the Epic Times. I deliver the mail and came across an issue. The front page intrigued me and I subscribed. Now I cut out articles and give them to friends and family. I leave old issues at the library and around my community. We read it to our kids and love the positive messages in each article. So why do I think everyone should read the Epic Times? Because they're bringing back traditional values to this great country.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off, our very first guest of 2023, the wonderful Aura Nadrich. Thank you so much, Aura, for staying with us for an extended edition of Spouting Off.
So happy to be here with you.
Good to have you. Oh, gosh. So I've been dying to ask this question when I read much of this book, Time to Awaken. And ladies and gentlemen, you're going to love it because it mirrors so many of the concerns that we have. She doesn't mince words at all. I must say that this book is, for the most part, addressing in, as Naomi Wolf put it, a gentle and caring way, the community that you've been so much of a part of, and inviting them to expand their awareness to what's actually going on today. And at the end of the book, you ask, are you ready to awaken even more? And I dare say, I hope you write another book. I mean, you just read one, wrote one you didn't want to write. And for a very long time, I've been using the term the curse of awareness, and that being politics, the curse of awareness of what's been going on. And I would like you, I would like to give you a huge wide berth to speak to the conservative audience that is most of my audience about people who are living with the curse of awareness and are trying desperately to deal with the torturous pain of that awareness, the grief of watching whatever you want to call it, evil, malicious intent, the kind of thing that people do not want to see. There are people among us who've been suffering with that awareness. And my questions have been many about what does a person do to tolerate the pain of that. I'm not suggesting we stop fighting. I'm not suggesting, I love what Naomi Wolf does, but we have to be able to have a new way of dealing with it because it's unprecedented. Americans have never had to deal with this before, you know? And yeah. That's what I would love for you to speak to.
Well, I'm glad you're asking me that question today, because if you had asked me that question right after I wrote my book, and, you know, I think I was crying myself to sleep, what I was finding out in my deep dives of research was very disturbing to me. And it's very hard to look at the monster up closely. It's very disconcerting. It's, you know, we're living in a time, again, yes, you're right, it's unprecedented. And for whatever reasons, we don't know, because this is going to be ongoing in real time. We've never been here before. We don't really know how this is all going to play out. And, you know, mindfulness is very helpful because it really helps us to be present. So that's what I would say to most people. Try and be as present as you possibly can so you can be fully aware of what is unfolding right before you. Having said that, there's a lot to take in. There's a lot. And for those of us that are seekers of truth, and those of us that, you know, didn't buy into this agenda from day one and knew something seriously wrong was going on, we weren't having it. We knew that something was going on that was not what it appeared to be, per se. And it mm-hmm. took us deeper and deeper down these rabbit holes, and we were vilified and ostracized and judged harshly and called conspiracy theorists because mm-hmm. why? We were, as we know, that term comes from questioning authority, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So suddenly yes. what? You can't question right. those?
And we were blamed for the virus. It was a pandemic of the unvaccinated, right?
Exactly, which I'm sure they wish they had. There's a lot. Thank God all of this is documented. Because I think it's going to come back, and, you know, I do believe in karma, and I feel that, you know, when you inflict crimes against humanity on mm-hmm. people, there will be a day of reckoning, for sure. So, you know, there's that. But I want to say this. It was hard to write this book. I went yeah. into areas that were really hard for me to look at closely. You know, I covered a lot of territory, as you know, reading the book. You know, this book, I think why it is striking a nerve in so many people and it's really resonating for people is because there's no other book that's written where you can talk about the Buddhist Eightfold Path and Bill Gates in the same book.
In the same book. I love it.
You're like,
it.
Wait a minute, what just happened? She's talking about, you know, compassion and the, you know, the tenets of Buddhism through the right. Eightfold Conscious Path. And I'm talking about transhumanism in the next chapter, right. you know, because I, you know, it's like that great Walt Whitman quote, do I contradict myself? Yes, I contradict myself. I'm large. I contain multitudes. We all contain multitudes, and we're all full of contradictions. And I yes. think what has happened specifically to your question, I went from, you know, I really have... used the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 7 stages of grief
yes.
to apply
yes.
to the times that we're in. We have to go through these different stages to mm-hmm. really be able to comprehend, process, and live with these changes that we're going through, but not to be stuck in any of them. And so mm-hmm. for those that are really stuck in, let's say, fear, or those that are stuck in
yes.
grief, you don't want to stay stuck there because it's going to just keep us stuck, do you know? And in as much as it made me profoundly sad when I researched things like transhumanism and artificial intelligence and the agenda of mm-hmm. the global elites and things like the World Economic Forum, it was very dystopian and very disturbing.
Yes.
So I recognized, being a mindfulness practitioner, that I was really in that emotional turmoil because of all the things that we're seeing happen right in front of our eyes. Of course it's depressing, and it's worrying, and it's frightening, and we don't know what's going to be coming down the pike next. I mean, we've been living in an unnatural state of fear, you know, always feeling like, you know, the powers that be, whoever they may be, are going to lock us up again. So here's where I think we can be most
distinct possibility.
Productive yeah. and serve yeah. the
yes.
purpose of how we can get involved and be the type of people that aren't just lamenting a world that has changed so drastically. For one, felt like it doesn't serve me any good to stay in that state of deep sadness over this sort of dystopian vision that these people have for us. For our future, no. I recognize that that's counterproductive and it's counterintuitive. We have to really take hold of our sense of reality. We have to really define what we think we can do moving forward that can help, you know, move this, what I called, it's like a global Titanic. You know, we don't want it to sink. We want to move this ship along in a way that we decide what our fate and destiny is, and not just to suddenly be resigned to the fact that, oh my God, these powers that be, these billionaires, these people that I mentioned throughout the book that have some kind of hold on us, and they're the ones that they think they can usher in something called the New World Order. You know, the word
yes,
order
and
really jumped out at me.
If I may, because we have so little time and your wisdom is so valuable, the element of force, which is what people who love free will, who love liberty,
yeah.
who love differences, is what many of us are lamenting. is that when this is, it's one thing if we have people among us who have no respect for human life at all, who are involved in a death cult. That's horrible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when the people who are involved in a death cult imposing communism and force, bullying and intimidation,
yes,
on people,
yes,
who have no desire to participate, but to live their lives in peace and harmony as they see fit, and
yes,
that is being impinged upon,
right,
then it's more than just lamenting. It's, you know, if I have been joyful because I live in a free country, and now I'm being told that I have to live like a communist and accept the fact that the fate of America is no longer a free country, I don't know how anybody, I'm asking how you accept that. How, not even accept
it.
I don't accept it, Karen.
I don't accept,
no,
it because my father lost his entire family in Nazi Germany in the Holocaust. So
and
that's
I'm
in
Jewish
my DNA.
Too.
And as I say
so
in the very
I.
beginning of the book, I use that,
yes,
you know, saying that has been,
yeah,
you know, really reverberated out in you know, the remembrance of those that died innocently in the Holocaust. Do not stand idly,
yeah,
by. At the end of the day, it comes back to
and
each and every one of us. And to circle back to what you said to me about people within my own community, if people are, yeah, silent and they're in fear, then they're part of the problem and they're complicit,
yeah,
is the way I look at it today. So the only way we're going to be able to stop this madness is if we stop being afraid. You know, I, as a young girl, when I would, you know, my father would,
yes,
watch those newsreels of World War II, I would go to the Holocaust museums and the memorials, and I would stand there as a young girl and go, how could this have happened? How could,
yes,
evil like this, evil that I can't even put into words,
exactly,
how could this have happened? Well,
yes,
is it because we allowed it to happen? Or was something done to us against our will? You know, I know these are existential questions.
Oh, these are important questions.
But
and
they
in
are
many
important
cases,
questions to ask ourselves.
Stuff was done.
If you look at the macro-micro of this, Karen,
yes,
when I can't even get through some of the people in my own community that I know think like I do, but they're afraid,
yeah,
to speak up, that,
yes,
speaks volumes to me. They think,
yeah,
as we do, but they're afraid to admit it. They're afraid. What are they so afraid of? If everybody
they think
just
they'll
resigns
be eaten
themselves
last,
to being afraid, we're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And boy, oh boy, I mean, Naomi Wolf and you and myself, that's what I thought as a little girl. I had family that died in the Holocaust. And it's like a raw nerve, especially my fellow Jews, who are offended at the comparisons of the Nuremberg Code. I tried to have Vera Sharov, and a Jewish woman wouldn't come on this show because she called Vera Sharov, if you know who that is, I think you do.
I do know who Vera Sharov is. She's incredible. And when she made a comparison to this time to Nazi Germany, rightfully so. But you know, when
she was called an anti-Semite.
Yeah, but and when Robert, you know, F. Kennedy Jr. made a reference and said,
yes,
it in his own way and made a reference to Anne Frank. I believe I can't reiterate exactly what he said.
Yes.
He had,
yes,
to publicly apologize for making that comparison
when
he even had rabbis behind
down,
him.
Upside down world we're living in.
Totally.
And I have a slogan. Is it never again or here we go again?
Right. Well, you know, this,
yeah,
has made me look at my fellow, you know, humanity here,
yes,
on this earth,
yes,
it, you know, I, who are you? You know, those are biblical questions to ask ourselves. We don't need to read it in a,
yeah,
Bible or just,
yeah,
you know, say the words of, you know, Moses or Christ or whoever is you think your, you know, Savior. We have to ask ourselves, who are we?
Mm-hmm.
Who are we? That's a profound question that each and every one of us must ask ourselves. Who are we? Who are we, you know, what are we going to stand up for? You know, what
yes,
where are we going to stop being afraid? What are we going to do? What stand
Aura,
are we going to take?
We have 3 minutes, and I just want to say thank you for your courage. Thank you for being a voice and for speaking to people in the ways that they can hear. Take the last couple of minutes to talk to the conservatives in my audience, all of our audience, as to what they can do to handle that grief. If you have one last comment, and everyone, please get the book Time to Awaken by Aura Nadrich. It's well worth your time. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Karen. You know, grief is understandable and it's real, and we should all be feeling the sadness of how our world has changed in a way that it's just not going to be the same world. But where I am hopeful, and I encourage our listeners to really go deep within themselves, you know, again, this transcends whether you're conservative or you're a liberal. I don't really care.
Sure.
Go within and ask yourself, what is your truth? What do you know? You know, ask yourself, what are you willing to do to step forward so that you're not just gripped by grief, that it paralyzes you not to act accordingly to how we need to act at this time to resist this darkness that is upon us. We all have to take an active role in this, do you know? It's very important. It's incumbent upon each and every one of us to take a stand.
And that can turn it around. You know, Gandhi said, even if you're a minority of one, the truth is still the truth. What's your truth?
You know, my mentor, so I was valuable. A screenwriter many years ago, and my mentor told me a quote that has stayed with me for many, many years, and it's, I'll change it a little bit and add, it's one man or woman can make, with courage, can make a majority.
It's so important.
So
and
let
you're
each
doing
and every
that.
One of us be that courageous one.
That's right. That is right. I couldn't, I want to just leave it there. Thank you, Aura Nadrich. And how do people get your website and visit you and learn more? They can refer their friends and family to you and your book for more.
Thank you, Karen, for having me today. And they can go on my website, auranadrich.com, if they're interested in, you know, learning more about me, my book. You can order it on Amazon. My website is auranadrich.com. Again, that's probably the best way you can find out more about me and order my book.
And it's wonderful to have you. Nadrich, N-A-D-R-I-C-H. AuraNadrich.com. Well, Happy New Year. Thanks for being on with us. I appreciate it. Take care. Well, that about does it for our very first episode of the new year. Take courage, have strength, tell the truth, speak out, and spout off.